Hey, this is Pastor John Riley. Welcome to our Open Door Podcast. I hope that it blesses you. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can visit us online at opendoorsanterfell.com.
Today's message. In Hebrews chapter 11 is referred to as like the faith chapter in the Bible, and or like the Faith Hall of Fame. And there are 16 names listed in Hebrews 11. 14 men and 2 women. And today we're going to talk about one of those women. Now my choice, I thought, well, this may be an unusual choice for Mother's Day, but there's just something really good about her story, and hopefully that will minister to us. So, after 40 years in the wilderness, the children of Israel have come to the Jordan River and the edge of the Promised Land. Just took 40 years. Now, you know, they started off and they got there almost immediately, but because of their disobedience and their other issues, the Lord said, well, you're not ready for the Promised Land, so we're going to go on a 40-year journey, I should say. That journey, that 40-year journey has now come to completion. They're on the edge of the Promised Land. Moses has died. He was not allowed to go in, but he was allowed from a high precipice to look over into the land that God had promised. And Joshua is in charge. So I'm going to be reading from Joshua chapter 2, the second chapter. It's a little bit long, so just hang in there with me. But it tells a very important story for our message today. So Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent 2 men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. Now Jericho is a prominent city in the land of Palestine. And in these days, there were little small kingdoms, and like a major city like Jericho would have its own king. So there was a king of Jericho. So there were a lot of kings at that time, but they just had small areas. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Spies. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, because obviously they've noticed these 2 strangers going into her place, saying, bring out the men who have come to you and entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them, that's Rahab, on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the 2 kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you will also deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills where the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made to us to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window to which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and mother and your brothers and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house and into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear. And he said, according to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went into the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned, and the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has given all the land in our hands, and also the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. That's quite a story. Rahab. This all happened about 1,400 years before Jesus came. Rahab is a prostitute by trade. She's also an innkeeper. That's one of the reasons the men came. They didn't come to her because she was a prostitute. They came to her because she had an inn where she provided lodging. And she was probably also a weaver of linen. That explains the flax that she had on the roof. She was a weaver of linen, so she was an industrious woman. Her house was in the wall of the city with a window looking out, which is unusual, but the city walls were obviously very wide and thick. Sometimes there were two different walls, but her house was built into the wall and she had a window that would look out. She had knowledge of Israel's history and had come to believe in the Lord, their God, obviously. She mentions the crossing of the Red Sea. She mentions the many victories that they have had. So somewhere along the line, the fear of the Lord has entered her heart, and she has come to believe that the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Israel people, is the true God of heaven and earth. By faith, she receives the two spies and offers to help them if they will help her. A mutual trust and agreement. They agree to save her and her family if she will keep her word. If you keep your word, then no harm shall come to you. She is instructed to hang a scarlet cord in her window so that the army will know where she is and not harm her. So this scarlet cord should remind you of something. The first Passover. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 12. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer, the angel of death, to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. So in that great story of the Passover, God is going to send his 10th plague upon Egypt, trying to finally convince Pharaoh to let his people go. And so this 10th plague is the worst, because the firstborn, when the angel of death comes over Egypt, the firstborn, children, animals, everything that is firstborn will die. But the children of Israel will be spared if they sacrifice a lamb and if they put blood around their door and on the doorpost. When the angel sees that red blood, he will pass over. And they are not allowed to go outside or they would be killed. They remain in their house until the morning. And that's the same picture we have here with Rahab. Put that red scarlet cord in your window. That red scarlet cord. And when our armies see that red scarlet cord, they will not harm you. They will pass by. But if you come out, we can't be responsible for your life. You'll be killed. What an amazing parallel. And that, of course, takes us to the cross, doesn't it? That takes us to the cross. And what an irony that in the Passover, the firstborn were saved, and to save us, God offers these firstborn. And it's by the blood that he shed on the cross that our lives are saved, and we do not suffer death. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. God gave his firstborn for us on the cross, his blood to cleanse us and keep us from death. And what an irony that is. And so the story continues. Israel destroys Jericho, but Rahab and her family are spared. Joshua chapter 6. But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her." So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. The city is destroyed, but Rahab and her family are spared because of her faith and her trust in God and the men that he had sent. Rahab and her family become a part of Israel and follow the Lord, which is a great part of our story. Rahab marries a man named Solomon. And according to the genealogy in Matthew, becomes the mother of Boaz, who will marry Ruth. Rahab will become the great-great-grandmother of King David and in the genealogy of Jesus. What an amazing story of redemption and God's kindness and goodness. In 1,400 years after this event, she is still remembered in the New Testament. James speaks of her. Matthew speaks of her. She's recorded in the New Testament. What a legacy that she left behind. And this is redemption. And this is the heart of the story, is God's redemption for us. Rahab left behind her adultery and her idolatry to follow the Lord. She put it behind her. Worshiping other gods, she put behind her. Her profession as a prostitute, she left behind her. She became a part of the Jewish people and married, and God blessed her legacy. And what a rich legacy it was. So the point of this, and our message isn't long today, it doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. If you give yourself to God and trust Him with your life, there is redemption. That's a word to us all. You know, we all have things in our past. Maybe there's things happening in our present that we need to deal with. But if we bring them to God and we are willing to turn away from them, there is redemption, because our God is a good God and a kind God. It is the heart of Jesus. All of us, like Rahab, are guilty of adultery and idolatry to some degree. It all happens. If it doesn't happen outwardly, it happens in our hearts. We are all guilty to some degree of adultery and idolatry in our lives. But the good news is this, according to 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that an amazing scripture? I thank God for His goodness and His forgiveness. And according to Romans, Paul in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In spite of whatever life Rahab had led, she came to a point somehow of faith, and there's no condemnation for whatever was in her past. It is as far as the east is from the west in the economy of God. And so it is for us when we bring our stuff to the Lord. I wanted to share, as we come to the end here, I wanted to share a story that we're all very familiar with from the Gospel of John. And one day Jesus, he goes into the temple and he's teaching, and he's got a pretty good crowd according to the scriptures. He's got a pretty big crowd. He sits down, he's teaching, and all of a sudden, in the midst of this, some of the Pharisees just burst in, crowd themselves in, shove themselves in, and they have this woman. And they say, this woman has been caught in adultery. And it's always been curious to us, you know, how they discovered that and how that came about. But they essentially drag her before Jesus. And they say to him, now according to the law of Moses, this woman should be stoned to death. Now what do you say, Jesus? And of course we know the Pharisees were always looking for a way to trap him, trick him, get him to say something or do something that they could hold against him. So Jesus, always having the edge on the enemy, he kneels down. And he starts writing something with his finger on the ground. And everybody's looking at each other. And this poor woman, she's just standing there in front of all these people. I mean, try to imagine what that would feel like. You know, not to defend her profession, but, quote, in Bible days, a single woman had a hard life. And her options weren't that many. If she didn't have family or friends who would help her, and unfortunately, some women would take this path. Not the right path, but some figured this is the only path available to me. So she's standing there, ashamed, feeling very guilty. All these people are watching. And so Jesus, writing on the ground, then he stands back up, and he looks at the woman. He looks around at the Pharisees. He looks around at the crowd, and he says, well, here's the deal. Whoever is here who has never sinned, please cast the first stone. Then he kneels back down and he starts writing again. And the Bible says one by one, everybody just left quietly. The Pharisees, the crowd, everybody's gone. Jesus stands back up. He looks at this dear woman that I would guess might have tears in her eyes. And he says, where did everybody go? Is there nobody here that will condemn you? And she says, there's no one. And he says to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin behind. And it would be my bet that's what she did. Because she has experienced the love in the heart of God, his gentleness, his mercy, his forgiveness. And that's what God has for all of us. I thank him that regardless of what messes we've made in our life, or will make, hopefully not, but we might, God's heart for us, that we will just humbly bring our mess to him. He will say, I love you, I forgive you, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. I thank you for these women. I thank you for Rahab, her amazing story, and how she put her faith and trust in God, and how God blessed her, and how she became a part of this amazing lineage that led to the birth of Christ. What an honor. There are others like Bathsheba, who was caught in adultery, and obviously forgiven and went about to have a right life, became David's wife, and she is in the lineage of Jesus. How amazing that Jesus, you look back through his tree, and there are these special women who did some things that were wrong, but were forgiven and cleansed and became a part of something so magnificent. So that gives me hope for me and for you that regardless of whatever we've done in our life, we can experience the kindness and the heart of God, knowing that none of us who have placed our faith and our life in the hands of Jesus have any condemnation, any condemnation. You know, the enemy wants to condemn you. The enemy wants to really rub your nose in anything you've ever done wrong, doesn't he? But Jesus will never do that. Jesus says, I love you, go your way, sin no more, I do not condemn you. I thank God for what he's done for us in Jesus Christ. And this is God's word to us all, today and every day. Forgiveness is available to us all. And no condemnation.